Mitzvah Kuf Gimel, the 103rd mitzvah. Making good progress over here. Mitzvah's Haktoras Kitoras. It's the mitzvah to offer burn incense on in the Beis HaMikdash. And it's Davu HaKohanim, the priests, of course, the ones who do all the manner of worship in the Beis HaMikdash. La'akter Kitoras Samim Pamayim B'chol Yom HaMizbach HaZahav. They have to offer the incense twice a day, in the morning and in the evening, on the golden altar, which is found inside the building of the Beis HaMikdash, inside the Heichal, as opposed to the main Mizbeach, which is in the outside courtyard where the sacrifices are burnt. Obviously, it wouldn't be inside a building, otherwise you would walk in and it would be full of smoke, and you wouldn't be able to see anything, and you wouldn't be able to breathe, and it wouldn't be good. But this little bit of incense smoke is not such a big deal, so therefore it can be inside a building. When the priest, the descendant of Aaron, here it's in the Torah, it's talking about Aaron himself, should offer the incense in the morning when he does the work associated with the candelabrum. They make a new batch of Ketores every year, as we said. The mitzvah of making it and the mitzvah of offering it is considered to be one mitzvah together, not two separate mitzvahs. If you sof mitzvah asiyasa, eino el hakterba. You say, well, you have to offer incense, so obviously you have to make the incense in order to offer it, but the making of the incense itself is not a separate mitzvah. There are two explicit commands in the Torah, one to make it and one to burn it. Shenemar beseder kisisa. It says in kisisa, kach lecha samim, take all the types of things that are used, the plants that are used to make the spices. Good, spices. The spices we think of eating nowadays more than smelling, but anyway. The spices to make the Torahs. It says twice, two explicit times, one to make it and one to merge. I think it might be two separate mitzvahs. No. You have room to think that maybe it'll be two mitzvahs, but all the people who count the mitzvahs seem to consider it to be one mitzvah. We have a lot of machloksim between the Ramban and the Rambam and the Bahag. A lot of disagreements about how to count the mitzvahs, but this ain't one of them, even though you think that it easily could be. They have a different disagreement. He says that the morning and the evening incense burning is all one mitzvah. And the Ramban, they're going to bring all the proofs one way or the other in their books about Sefer HaMitzvos. Mishorshe mitzvahs. Oh, what's the reasoning? Gam kein lahagdil kvod habayis lios malosu moroso al pnei kodam. This is again to increase the stature of the Beis HaMikdash in the eyes of the people and to make people more afraid of it. V'yefshe lahagdil davar b'leiv ben adam u'machshavto rak b'dvarim shuchoshev osam l'gdula. It's only possible to help somebody consider something great by doing something that people consider to be a great thing in that place or whatever. And people are going to be derive pleasure and happiness from the thing. That good smelling things is something that makes people very happy and people really want it, and it draws the heart to whatever the smell is based upon. So in the olden days, you really get the impression that people are much more into smells than they are nowadays. Nowadays, yeah, you have a little bit of perfume, whatever. But in the olden days, like people, it was a thing to smell good things. That's why we have a bracha, just like we have a bracha on eating. There's a bracha on smelling fragrances as well. And when Shabbos is over, of course, we use Besamim and Havdalah because it's considered to soothe the soul. The extra soul is departing, and Shabbos is departing. Therefore, we have the summon by Abdullah. Perech haktoras hayatov shev shel yasos sayyidi adam. The smell of the incense was as good as was possible to make by human hands. Ad shamar zichron alrocha beperek amar lehem amuna ki mericho haya merichim bo b'shas haktorah. From when the incense was burnt on the golden altar, they used to smell it mericho ad Yerushalayim, from Jericho until Jerusalem, which is a very far distance. Okay, maybe it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but the point is that it was a very, very good smell. Of course, the brisa that we say on Shabbos, during that we're talking about the Ketores, says that if they had added a little bit of honey to the incense, that ain adam yachol lamod mipnei recha, that nobody would have been able to even control themselves around the smell. But the only reason that they really wanted to do that, but the only reason they didn't do that is there's a separate halacha. They're not allowed to put honey in any type of korban, any type of anything is burnt in the Beis HaMikdash. So you see, it was one level beneath that unbelievably powerful type of smell. Bidinei HaMitzvah. There were 15 types of spices in the Ketores. Four of them are and 11 of them are considered just to be a tradition. So this line is very controversial because the most other people assume that the total number is 11. Total number is 11, four of which are mentioned explicitly in the Torah, so it's a little bit difficult. It could be that he's counting, one of the commentaries over here, it says that maybe he's counting certain extraneous things that were just added to help it get to a certain consistency or to help it the smoke rise in a certain fashion from the altar that were not actually added for smell purposes. So it could be that he's counting those, but he says that's a little difficult. But it could be some other... Yeah, this is the way, this is the reading of all the manuscripts, but some other people...
It says 15.
What? Yeah, what? What?
There's a textual issue.
Chamisha sar samon, yeah. Oh, Veshiva Kabbalah, yeah, they change the text to make it conform to the opinion of the other authorities, right. But right, but in all the manuscripts of the Sefer HaChinuch, it says the difficult way. So that you find all the time. So a lot of times you have the difficult text, and then you find people amend it because it was difficult, but really it was meant the other way. It was just taka difficult. Either the high priest or regular priest could do it. So if you missed one by mistake or on purpose, you were bad. So you didn't do one of the offerings of the Torah at the proper time. So at the next one, you make it up. You have to be, if you missed the one in the morning, then you do a double for the afternoon one, because if you miss the afternoon one, then you can't make it up anymore, because then next in the morning, it's already a new day. So you can't add on from one day to the other, but you make it, according to this, you make it all up in the afternoon. There's actually a machlokes between Tanoim, in the, whether this is the case, whether you, if you miss the morning incense, then you do the afternoon incense double, or you just skip it and you would do just the afternoon incense. He goes according to the authorities that you do double. The Rambam does as well. And that, the total weight is 100 dinarin for one day, so 50 in the morning and 50 in the afternoon. And the weight of a dinar is bavust. So how much is the weight of a dinar? I copied it this morning. Let me just look it up. So a certain amount. Okay, well, I may have copied the wrong page, so we'll figure out exactly how much that is later. When we rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to have to figure that out, but I don't think there are any Kohanim here, so none of us are going to have this close to being Makdeh Lektoris. So, V'chol yom haya makdir chetzion ba'boker v'chetzion ba'erev achar tamir shel bein harbaim. So half of the daily incense was in the morning, and half was in the evening after the tamir shel bein harbaim, the afternoon offering. Kodem ha'tavas ha'neros kulan. Before, we discussed in one of the mitzvahs we discussed previously, that of taking care of the candelabrum of the Beis HaMikdash. Achar ha'tavas chamesh psilos, man, you do five of the psilos, then you do the Ketores, then you go back and do the other two. Ki lo hayo madlikan ritzufan. You didn't do all seven together. V'chacha yo'osin anyin zeh. This is how you used to do the incense. Kohen shezochel ha'kter ha'ktores, noto kli male ktores gadush v'tani shmo. The Kohen used to take a vessel that was... had a mound. This was full, a heap, you know, we say in English, we have a, a heaping teaspoon or end a, what's the opposite of a heaping teaspoon? Level teaspoon. So they had a heaping tani, whatever that is, a type of vessel of Ktoris. And of portion, you got rid of everyone from the entire building of the Heichal, and between the building and the Mizbeach itself. The main Mizbeach was a little bit far removed from the building in the courtyard of the temple. Shenemar, b'chol adam lo yiyeh be'ohel moed. Nobody should be in the tent of meeting. This, again, this was said by about Yom Kippur, but we assume that we learn out from this against for other types of things as well. Umakdir kederach shemeforasham v'gemara. The Gemara tells you exactly how you should do it. Shemash lichaktores benachas al gecholim asher bam. Again, we have a girsa issue. Asher either b'machtas azav or b'mizbach azav u'mishlach aviyotze. You take the, it says like you should do it like you're sifting fine flour. So you take the aktoris and you put it on the coals that are on the altar, and then you bow, and then you go out, and then you can the Beis HaMikdash goes back to its normal duty. So here we have the girsa issue as whether you put it on a pan on the altar, whether you put it directly on the altar, and the Minchas Chinuch says he thinks that the machtas is the pan is an error, tausomatic, because we see in most halachic sources that it says that they put the ktoris directly on the altar. So others say no. There are some sources that say there was a pan involved somehow. So the rest of the details how the ktoris was made and how he was offered. When they used to grind up all the spices, they used to tell it to grind very finely. Come on, incense, let's go. Come on. Get really fine, please. Come on, let's get fine. The sages tell us that talking is good for the grinding of incense. How exactly that works, I don't know, but talk, what? It's explained in Maseches Krisa, Maseches Tavid. So this is only applicable in time when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, otherwise you have no Mizbach Hazav to offer the Ktoris, and somebody who, the Kohen who does this properly, is Mekayim the Mitzvahs Aseh. It's interesting, it says that if you have the Beis HaMikdash, but for some reason the Mizbach Hazav goes missing, you have no golden altar, and you still offer the Ktoris on the place where the golden altar used to stand. Very interesting. Okay. Next mitzvah kuf dalet, shelola haktir lahakrev al mizbach hazav. Not to offer on the golden altar. Shelahakrev mizbach hazav, shebehechal kiim kitorah shebechol yom. The only thing they use the golden altar for, the one that stands inside the building of the Beis HaMikdash, is the incense. Ulasi hazas hadomim yom kippur yakiburim. For the sacrifice of Yom Kippurim as well, you sprinkle the blood on the inner altar. Shenemar lo salu alav kitara zara ve'ola mincha v'nesach lo sischu alav. The pasuk says, "You shall not bring up on the inner altar a foreign incense and animal sacrifices and meal sacrifices and wine sacrifices as well." Don't do anything on the mizbech hazav. You're not supposed to do on mizbech hazav. Barakas adnu lemala tshuva l'shoal tzadav shat. Above we wrote an answer to someone who asks from a rationalistic perspective. Al inyan mitzvas binyan. We're talking about why we have to build a house to God. And the reason why there are all these expensive vessels there. And you have the table of showbread and the candelabra. So explained over there that that's for the grandeur and whatever, and we don't know, we can't exactly explain all the details. Maybe are designed to draw our attention to the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash, but based on rationalism, we can't necessarily give a reason for all the details of the halachos of how the Beis HaMikdash was to be constructed. We have to look to mysticism for that. So now if we're already going with that approach, so we can't explain exactly why God told us not to offer any other thing on the golden altar except for Ketores. We have to start asking the question, why are there seven branches of the menorah instead of eight? But we can't fathom the reason for all the details. If you press me, I'm going to give an answer. Omar al-Tadabshad, I could say maybe suggest a rationalistic explanation if you twist my arm. Really, the rationalistic explanation is just a side thing. The important thing over here is the mystical explanation. Mm-hmm. Lasos Kalim. Once we've been commanded to build the house and to build and to do vessels, make vessels. Nitzavinu b'em altzad echad min hatzadim. We just we have to use them in a certain way. Uva b'hen echad min hacheshbonu sheyefshel lemasa bilti echad mihem. So we had all the calculations of how the Beis Hamikdash works has to all the vessels have to come into play. Ulam achar shenitzavinu b'em ba'at tzava aleihem lasosim kemitzva derech kevel olam. And once we've been commanded about them, we have to use it this a certain way forever. You can't change how these things are being used. So if this is perfect, this is the way it's supposed to be. If you do anything less or anything more, then you're going to throw the whole system, the Beis Hamikdashi system, out of whack. All the mitzvahs of God are perfect. The ulam shemati ki yeshlam. So he's not so happy with this. He never when he wants to give a full rationalistic explanation of a mitzvah, he doesn't hesitate about it. He says, this is what I think it is, and no second guessing. The ulam shemati yeshlam mekubalim b'cholechem yapratim time nifloim v'sodes abukim. But here he says that the mystics have very detailed explanations of exactly all the details of the mitzvahs of the Beis Hamikdash. And their wonderful reasons and very deep secrets. So again, we pointed out that unlike the Rambam, the Sefer HaChinuch feels that the rationalistic approach has its limits, and that for certain things you do have to turn to the mystics, to the Mekubalim, to get the full understanding of what the mitzvahs are all about. This mitzvah is obviously only applicable in the times of the Beis Hamikdash and for the Kohanim, because they're the ones who would anyway be doing things in the Beis Hamikdash, so they would be the ones who would misuse the Mizbach HaKazav. Ve'over al zev ikriv ozorak bo, kim dover aroy v'lhakriv v'kemo shemarnu chay malkos. And if you do this wrong, and you offer something on the Mizbach HaZav that you're not supposed to, then you receive the penalty of lashes, the standard penalty for the violation of a negative commandment. No, he says it only applies to Kohanim. But he comments on it, he says, yeah. Okay, we finished Parshas Tetzaveh. Let's make a siyum. Let's bring out the Shnai. Yeah, Parshas Kisisa. Yesh bar b'mitzvos aseh v'chamesh mitzvos lo saseh. So we have four positive commandments and five negative commandments. Mitzvah kufhei, mitzvos nesinas machtzis ha-shekel v'shana, the mitzvah to give the half a shekel every year as a tax for the Beis Hamikdash. Yitin kol echad mi'Yisrael min esrim shana v'mala, every Jewish person, see in a second that's not person, really, but from 20 years old and above. Bein ani, bein asher, machzis ha-shekel. You have to give half a shekel, whether you're poor, whether you're rich, it doesn't matter. So you have to give the exact same. Shehu mishkal asara geira kesef, which is the weight of 10 geira of kesef. We'll discuss in a minute exactly how much that is. The chol shana liyada kohanim. And you have to give this every year to the kohanim, and they have to do with it certain things. We'll discuss in a minute. Shenemar, Zeyitanu kol ho veralapagudim. This is what they shall give anybody who's over 20 years old. Hayu manichin hakol balishka achas shemigdash shabisham hayu motzin liknos tmidim usafim lechol korban hakari valatzibor. So they used to store all the shkalim that they would get in this tax in a certain room in the Beis Hamikdash, and then they would take they would withdraw from the account, so to speak, to buy the kohanim, the efi, the karbanos that were offered on behalf of the entire congregation. Veniskeim and the wine libations, Melech Shemolchim Bosar Karbanos, and the salt with which they use the salt of Karbanos, Hatzei HaMa'arocha V'lechem HaPanim, and the wood for the altar and the showbread, Uschar HaOsa Lechem HaPanim, and the baker, to pay the baker who bakes Lechem HaPanim, the HaOmer and harvesting the Omer offering, Ushtei HaLechem, and the two bread offerings that were brought on Shavuos, Upara Aduma, and buying from the farmer the Parah Aduma, the red heifer, Osir Mishtaleach, and the goat that sent out on Yom Kippur, Veloshen Shel Zahoris, and the thing of
strip of wool
that was tied on the Beis Hamikdash that turned white if everything was Besider, when they sent out the Osir Mishtaleach. Mishor Sheh HaMitzvah, the reasoning behind the mitzvah, Sheretz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Tovas Kol Yisrael Zakosim Sheyad Kulam Shavu B'Dvar HaKarbanos HaKrevim L'Fanav Kol HaShana Basmada. God wanted to be mezakeh everyone. It's God's doing a favor for us, that he wants us to all be taking part in buying the karbanos that are offered on our behalf. Of vinyanim elu haniskarim, all these other offerings as well that are on behalf of the entire congregation. Veshu akol echadani vecharosher, no matter. In other words, They didn't want anyone to have a plaque in the Beis HaMikdash. You know, this is donated. This korban was donated by so-and-so. Rather, it has to be, I mean, certain things were donated by private individuals. But for the korbanos hatzibur, right, they wanted everyone to have an equal hand in it, no matter how rich or how poor you were. Shavin b'mitzvah achas lefanav lahalo zikaron kulan al idei mitzvah shem kulam ba yachad letova lefanav. All the Jewish people are in it together in these types of korbanos. Ba'alias azikaron hakol ne'amar mitzad mekabel. This is all, in other words, this is not for God per se that we give the shekel, but really this is a common thing we find in the Sefer Chinuch, that it's really for us, that God gave us this mitzvah for our benefit, that we should have this chus of being all part of the karbonos. Bel derech shekazan l'mali, yeah, we said this many times. Medine ha-mitzvah, the lachos are as follows. Gon ma'ashar mizrechon l'vrucha, shebe'echad ba'adar mashmi'im al hashkolim. On the first day of the month of Adar, we start getting up and announcing, time to give your shekel, time to give your shekel. Even the most poor person that you could imagine has to give a machzis hashekel. If he pashy can't afford it, if he doesn't even have half a shekel to his name, then he has to borrow money. You have to sell your clothes off your back to give a machzis hashekel. It's absolute rule, no getting out of it, no excuses. You know, a lot of times when you have a mitzvah that costs a lot of money and you push it, can't afford it, so you don't have to. You don't necessarily have to engage in that mitzvah. You have to give more than a chomesh. You have to give more than a fifth of your money to fulfill the mitzvah, but this is not one of those. You have to give as much as possible. Shneamar, if hadal lo yamit, if you're as poor as you are, you can't give less than machzis hashekel. Veino nitan b'fironos har be'ala kol b'pamachas. There's no installment plan. Paying the machzis hashekel has to be all given at one time. V'hu mishkal shmonim garine seora. This, the weight of the machzis hashekel in silver is 80 barley kernels. So what's the weight of 80 barley kernels? Again, I looked up. So a barley kernel is, 1 second. Oh, he gives you
7.1 or 8 grams of silver.
One barley kernel is 0.7 grams. What does he say?
0.7 half shekel, grams.
It says,
that's a lot.
The half shekel identifies.
I'm sorry, 0.7 grams is 16.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, 7.1 right. To 8 grams of silver, you know.
Uh-huh. Okay. Everybody has to give it. Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. You think maybe the Kohanim would be putter because they are the ones doing the karbanos, so maybe they shouldn't have to pay for them. No, they all have to give machzis hashekel. Gerim, Vavadim, Mishuchararim. Converts and freed slaves. So again, once they convert or once they get slaves, have the status of full Jews. Avalo, Noshim, Vavadim, Uktanim. But not women or slaves or minors. Vimnosnu, Mekablimeim. But if they decided they want to give, they want to volunteer. Let's say the woman says, "I just have to give machzis hashekel. I just won't feel right if I don't give machzis hashekel." Then she does. She has vim. Avalomin hagoyim, but not from non-Jews. They cannot give machzis hashekel. Chelik v'nachal yalon lohem besochein. It's not appropriate for them to take part in the communal part of buying of all the korbanos. They can give korbanos if they want. It's, Goyim are allowed to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, but they can't have a chelik, they can't have a part in the communal offerings of the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because the Minchas Chinuch over here apparently was reading an edition of the Sefer HaChinuch where it said kusi instead of goyim. You can't get it from a kusi, which means a Samaritan. But so he says, so a kusi you can't, but you take from a Samaritan. So the Sefer HaChinuch left out goyim because kol shekhen. If you know you can't take from a Samaritan, who originally may have been Jewish, but at a certain point were declared to be completely not Jewish. So certainly from real bona fide non-Jews, so you cannot take the machzis hashekel. But really, it was a censored edition of the Sefer Chinuch, so it said kusim instead of goyim, because goyim wanted us to think, it's from the olden days that you couldn't take from them. But nowadays, you know, we are all equal, and we want to have brotherly love and whatever. So, but the real gears anyway is goyim. So the Minchas Chinuch question is not relevant, or a comment rather, not question. V'od amru zechronim levracha shekol mi she'eno nosen chatzis shekel mamish shehaya madbea bo sozman v'nosen bavur kesef b'mishkalo o prutos. They said that if you don't give an actual half coin that it was in those times, then and you give instead of, let's say, the equivalent would be, instead of a half dollar coin, you gave
two quarters,
or you gave 5 dimes, or something along those lines. By the way, machzitz shekel is, they used to give either the amount of machzitz shekel that was from the original times of Moshe Rabbeinu, or they used to give half the shekel, the coin that was used in those times, whichever was bigger. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind. Mm. It says, anyway, yeah. So if you gave, instead of, if you didn't give the exact coin, you gave change, shemosif al mishkal shiklo zemat, then you have to add a little bit to the amount you give. Veosu amat nikra kalbon, a little bit is called a kalbon, veosu hamat hu schara shulchani shemistakir kishu machlev chatzi shekel shea tevul kishu frikos. So this part, this little extra bit, is the amount that you pay to the money changer. Two people who brought one shekel between them, because really they should have each given a half shekel, so they each have to give the, as if they were changing the coin. They would have to give this to the money changer. So they have to give it, they don't get off scot-free, they have to give this extra little bit to the Beis HaMikdash. They each have to give a chatzi shekel. They have to give the exact amount, and again, this this additional bit of the kalbon, according to most, was the rabbanon. What happens if you lost your shekel as you were bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash? You have to bring a new one. As soon as it gets into the hand of the gizbar of the temple treasurer, then you're off the hook. But before that time, you would have to replace it. The Yesarube Proteha, the rest of the many myriad details, Mavar Masechta Mnuyalze, Vahumahi Masech Eshkalim. There's a whole Masechta in the Talmud Yerushalmi, actually, not the Talmud Bavli, it's called Masech Eshkalim, of course, the Mishnah is also. But it's part of the Dafyomi cycle because, why is it? There's a whole story behind it. Menohegius is Man Habayis, Shechayavim Lasei Sosom, Kol Yisrael Bein Omdim Baritz of Achutzar, so you don't get off the hook for not living in Israel. If it's in the temple, isn't then you don't have to do it. Even people live in Eretz Yisrael. If you didn't give it, you violated a positive commandment. It's more than stam, not putting on tefillin for a day or something like that. It's a much more important mitzvah, say, because this is showing your connection to the rest of the Jewish people. And if you don't do that, so you show that you, I don't care what happens to everyone else, I don't consider myself to be a part of the Jewish people, I don't have to give the taxes. And then, if you don't give your machzitz shekel, then the korban hatamid that's offered on behalf of everyone doesn't work for you. Mm. Nowadays, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And not shkalim nagu kol Yisrael, zecher adov relikros Beis HaKnesses, b'chol shana v'shana parshazu. We have an institution called Parsha Shkalim, and the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar, which is when, around the time of year where they would begin to announce that it's time for everyone, it's time to give your shekel. We read the Parsha of the beginning of Kisisa, where it talks about the shekel, in order to remind everyone about that there is such a thing as a machzitz shekel once upon a time. Mitzvah Kuvav, the 106th mitzvah. Mitzvah Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim B'Shas Avoda. This is the mitzvah that when the Kohanim do the worship in the Beis HaMikdash, they have to wash their hands and feet. L'Rechotze Yadayim V'Raglayim B'Chol Eis Hikonis L'Heichal. So the Kohanim have to wash their hands and feet anytime they go into the temple. V'Habo L'Avod Avoda. They come in to do the worship in the Beis HaMikdash, or the Karbanos. Vizosi mitzvah kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. This is the mitzvah called kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, sanctification of hands and feet, literally not washing. Shenemar v'rachatzu aron of anavim enus yadayimus v'raglayim. It says that the when it talks about building the kior, which is the modern Hebrew, it's a sink. When the times of the Beis HaMikdash, it was talked about this vessel with spigots on the bottom that they could wash their hands and feet with. V'rachatzu aron of anavim enus yadayimus v'raglayim. They should wash their hands and feet from the kior. When they come into the tent of meeting, or when they're going to do the worship on the altar. The reasoning for the mitzvah is as follows. We have to increase the glory of the Beis HaMikdash by doing things in a nice fashion. we have to, so you have to clean your hands. Shein osos b'mlacha, those are the ones that are doing the actual performance of the tasks of the korbanos. B'chol yisigu ha-kohanim b'inyani ha-bayis, when the kohanim touch the things having to do with the Beis HaMikdash. U'mizeh ha-shorosh ha-amru zichronim l'vracha, for this reason itself, shein ha-kohen tzorech l'kaddish ad bein avoda l'avoda, that the kohanim don't have to make kiddush yadayim v'raglayim between each type of worship. They want to move from one sacrifice to another. They don't have to do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Ela pam achas boker ve'oved kol yom v'chol ha-layla. They just make kiddush yadayim v'raglayim once in the morning. They can go the entire day and the night, because we know in the Beis HaMikdash, the day for the halachic day starts in the morning and goes till the following morning, as opposed to in normal Judaism, that the day starts at night and goes to the next night. That's only on the condition that he can't sleep. If he falls asleep, then he has to make kiddush yadayim v'raglayim again. And he doesn't urinate, and then we have to make kiddush yadayim v'raglayim again, and he doesn't take his mind off the fact that he's doing the worship in the Beis HaMikdash, in which case he would need to do a kiddush yadayim v'raglayim again. Or certainly if he leaves the Beis HaMikdash for a significant period. By the way, it's interesting that anytime you urinate, you have to make kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, but it's interesting that if a kohen has to do gedolim, he has to defecate in the middle of when he's doing his avoda, then he has to go to the mikvah. It's interesting. Even he needs even more afterwards. Even if he's tahor, technically, it doesn't make you tamei, technically speaking, but still you have to go to the mikvah if you want to continue doing the avodah. The whole point of this is to increase the honor of the house. That even if he was completely, he had just taken a shower and used shampoo and gone to the mikvah, then he still needs to do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Mishehiskel ba'avoda ein tzorech l'rechitza bein avoda. He doesn't need to make kiddush yadayim v'raglayim again between the avodas. Zulasa b'yom kippurim. That's only on the, we talk about the Seder avoda b'yom kippur, when they talk about Musaf, that between each thing he had to make kiddush yadayim v'raglayim because it was extra holy. L'rov chumro shel yom, which is interesting because it's a chumra in that, but it's a kula on the issue of washing on Yom Kippur. But it's not a problem because he does not miskavin latanog. It was only just like the Kohanim are allowed to wash their hands on Yom Kippur before they go to Duchen, because the Rama says kol rov rechitza, because they're washing too much. So it's not so geschmack. So we want to create the atmosphere that everything having to do with the Beis HaMikdash is pure and clean and holy. Because we have all these rituals associated with water surrounding the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Midini ha-mitzvah, the lachos of the mitzvah, shalom, zirchon, bracha, sheyotzei chutz l'chom, ha-sazara, ton, kiddush yadayim, that if you go outside the walls of the courtyard of the temple, you have to make kiddush yadayim v'raglayim when you come back in. There's a difference, though, if you have kavana just to go out and come right back in, if you passel your avoda, if you don't make kiddush yadayim v'raglayim when you come back in or not, if you intend to go out and stay around, then I think it does passel the avoda, so then maybe it's only the rabbanon if you don't have kavana to, if you don't have kavana to stay outside and you come back in, so maybe the kiddush yadayim v'raglayim is only the rabbanon because the raisa, the avoda is still good. That if you wash your hands one day, the next morning you have to do it again. Even if you didn't sleep the entire night, let's say Shavuos night, so all the Kohanim are obviously learning all night long. That's what they used to do in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. That was a joke. Shadayim nifsalos belina, that the yadayim of the Kohanim, the hands of the Kohanim, become puzzled to do the avoda based on just the fact that the night has passed by and not even that they went to sleep. Sleep is a separate thing. If they go to sleep also, they have to do it again. It's either sleep or night. So the chatchila, the Kohanim have to wash their hands, feet, and face. And my commentaries go wild on the Sefer HaChinuch over here. What on earth is he talking about? Wherever do we find that there's a specific mitzvah on the Kohanim to wash their face? Mm-hmm. Everybody's supposed to wash their face in the morning when they wake up, but here he says there seems to be a specific mitzvah on the Kohanim. They quote a passage of the Mora Nevuchim that seems to support this in a backhanded manner, but there really seems to be no source for the fact that there's a specific halacha by a Kohen that he has to wash his face before engaging in avodah. The best thing is to use the kior, which is the official vessel, which is designated for kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Im kiddush me'achad miklishar is kosher b'diavad. That if you make kiddush yadayim v'raglayim from a different holy vessel, then it's okay b'diavad. Avalo miklichol afilu diavad. But if you just take a washing cup, and you or a shower and you pour it on yourself, then that's no good. V'shein machnisin yadeyam l'socha l'shovchem eno al yadeyam. You can't stick your hands in the kior, in the klisharis, when you're making kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. You have to pour it on yourself. V'gam zed derech kavo. This is to increase the honor of the whole of the institution of kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Bein anu matzrichim kein bini atil sidayim l'chul l'tol min akli v'lo v'socho. But this is not a requirement when you wash your hands tam for eating bread, which is a rabbinic halacha, not a derais halacha, that you don't need to actually pour it on your hands. You can just stick your hands into the kli, which is not the halacha the way we know and love it nowadays, but that's what the Sefer HaChinuch holds. And there are other rishonim hold like that.
I'm talking what? About if you wash for bread.
Yeah.
You don't have a keli. Yeah. You just hold your hands under the water See. Coming out of the faucet.
No, that's no good. No.
Wait a minute. What if you, there's a lake or something like that? Can't you do a tefillah of your hands?
Yeah. If you have a mikveh, you can stick your hands into the mikveh before eating bread. But I think most people who don't have access to a sink probably don't have access to a mikveh either. I mean, unless you're by the ocean.
I was once canoeing, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Because very often, let's say, if you sometimes in a place where there is no cup, so then what are you supposed to do?
Marjorie's making.
You have a certain, you have, what?
You turn it on and off, right? So it's your hands.
That works maybe for washing your hands like in the morning, but I think that's a very big kula. Maybe in the olden days when they had mamish, like Kalem sitting on the roof, when they had, I think some people were mekel, if you have like a gigantic thing of water, a tank on the roof, and you turn the faucet, and that first splash is considered to be coming from your own, but I don't.
That's very thought, like on planes and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, especially nowadays that there, even if there's no tank on the roof.
I think there are those who are out there, but it's not the
right. The pastus is it's a big kula. If you need,
it's very often when I
you
so
have
what's
to go.
The way to do
actually,
it if
you know, when I
well, if you
bread,
mamish don't have, there's no access within a within a certain distance, then you can just wrap your hands and eat.
Yeah.
Well, but you see, if you can go with
you say you can wrap your hands.
Oh,
right.
What do you mean by wrap?
Like you can wear gloves. You can wear gloves or wrap your hand with
a napkin. So you're not. If you don't have a cup, you don't have gloves. You know, I'm talking about.
No, you
want to wash for bread.
Piece of bread.
No cup.
You put the piece of bread in a napkin. You don't touch the bread with your hand. So.
That way.
Yeah. What if you have a bottle of water?
Bottle is okay. You're not really supposed to do it because the mouth of the bottle is too small. So you're supposed to get all your hands in one fell swoop. But if you that's all you have, then that's better than. Nothing, yeah.
And why are we always washing twice or three times? Or most people are, I don't know. Because the Kohen, I understand, had to do it just once on each hand.
Yeah, but that's different, because the reason you do it twice is because the one you once you splash... If you have... the truth is, with the sized cups that we have nowadays, according to many authorities, you don't need to do that, but we still try to do it twice, because once you pour water on your hands once, so that water becomes tummy when it touches your hand, and then you have to pour water again to get the tummy water off your hand. Anyway, it's
the water makes your hands tummy?
No, your hand makes the water tummy.
Your hand makes the water tummy.
So now
the first place.
We have a lot of chumras in the Tilas Adayim. According to a lot of authorities, you know, once you have cups the size that we have nowadays, that we pour plenty of water on the hands at one time, so you might not necessarily do this, but that's not maybe we'll discuss that a little bit about that more later. So even though you need a vessel for a netilas yadayim, regular washing your hands before bread, meaning we find that you need for netilas yadayim, when you wash your hands to eat truma or holy things, then you need a vessel. It's only regarding the holy things that the Torah said that you needed to do from it. You need to pour from it and not stick your hands inside of it. But for chulin, there's no reason that's necessarily the case. But wait a minute, you're going to tell me that the chulin is only based on the washing your hands for holy things. So the halacha should be the same. And it's also a rabbinic thing. The reason we have to wash our hands for eating bread is so we should remember that there's such an institution for eating truma. Still, it doesn't have to be exactly the same. v'daylanu l'chayim v'natil v'chli b'chulin mishum srach zeh, that it's enough that we don't have to go all the way, that we have to do it exactly what you do it for truma. It's enough that you could just, you need a kli for it, but not to mamish pour from the kli onto your hand. L'niach miyuto d'imenu shenemar bo b'mkomo. We can leave some of the halachos inside. Afilo b'truma asma natil z'dayim ba'mi d'rabanan. The whole institution is d'rabanan, so they can do it, tell us to do whatever they want. There's no such thing as tumah and tara, that your hands can be pure or impure on a derice level. They derive the institution for washing your hands from what it says by Azov, that his hands he didn't wash, he didn't rinse in water. That's just a peg for the rabbinic institution, but it's not an actual derice institution. The Ramban's comments on the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos. What the Chazal tell us, how much water needs to be in the Kiyor. It has to be at least enough water for four Kohanim to wash their hands and feet. So Aaron and his sons have to wash it. Vayu Aaron Elazar v'Isamar Pinchas Imam. So in that pasuk, there was Aaron, Elazar, Isamar, who were the surviving sons, and Pinchas, the grandson. The chol mayim ksherim lekiddush. Any type of water is kosher for kiddush adayim reglaim. Bein mei mayan o mei mikvah. Could be standing still or it could be flowing. Ben ifsalim belina. And if the water is, it sits overnight, then it becomes pasul. The exception to this is if it actually is a mikveh itself, or a mayon, in which case the water does not become pasul by the night. So what they used to do in the base of mikdash is they used to take the kiyor, either if they didn't want to refill it every day with fresh water, they used to take the kiyor and dip it into a cistern, which would be a mikveh or something like that, under the base, that was in the base of mikdash, and therefore the water would not become pasul. Yeah, they had a crank. It talks about there's a whole crank that they used to, a rope pulley system that they used to lower the kiyor into the thing. The chetzad mitzvahs kiddush, and how exactly is the kiddush adayim v'raglayim performed? Maniach yadu ayamanus aragla ayamanus v'yadu asmalus aragla asmalus v'ruchetz omeid velo yoshev. So he used to stand up and bend over, and he used to pour water on his right hand and right foot at the same time, and he would rub his right foot with his right hand and his left foot with his left hand. Levisha miklal havodahu kiddush adayim v'raglayim. It has to be standing because this is part of the service in the base of mikdash. V'chol havodos sheha mikdash mu'manein. Everything in the base of mikdash was standing. Shenemar la'amod l'shares. It's derived from the verse that says that they should stand up to serve. That obviously literally just means they have to, you know, to present themselves to serve. But they derive from it since it says la'amod, then they have to be actually standing up. V'chol zel amala savayis. This fits in with my yisod that I was discussing earlier, that this all has to do with the glory of the Beis HaMikdash. V'yaser pratam, evarim perek shayim v'zvachim, the second perek v'sech v'zvachim. Egez v'an ezvayis, v'zichrei kuna b'lavad. This mitzvah is only applicable, obviously, in the time of Beis HaMikdash, with male kohanim, because they're the ones who are doing the avodah, not female kohanim. V'over alev, v'lo kidshu yadav v'ragel v'shacharis, if you didn't make kiddush adayim v'raglayim in the morning, osh yotzah min HaMikdash v'siach daito, the chazar v'avad v'lo kiddush, if you went out and you had Hesech Hadas, you took your mind off the Avoda, and you came back and did the worship without Kiddush. Chayim Misa Bidei Shemayim, like somebody, like a Kohen who doesn't have the proper garments, or who doesn't, or someone who's not a Kohen, who does worship in the Beis HaMikdash, Chayim Misa Bidei Shemayim. But if you just go outside, and then you come back in immediately, like I said, so the rice that is good, it's only the Rabbanan, that you need the Lechatchila, you're supposed to wash Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim again. The avodas of psula and the korbanos that you do are pasul. They have to be done again. Bein kohen gadol, bein hedyot. This applies both to a kohen gadol and a kohen hedyot. A regular kohen.